Welcome to KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Today, an audio Christmas card from the KHOI family wishing you and your family happy holidays. Here in the next hour are Christmas stories from some of us who produce KHOI. There's also some stories from unsuspecting people. Thanks for playing along with us, guys, who walked through our doors at KHOI and were asked to share their memories of Christmas. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy our stories. So let's start with a story by our environmental reporter at KHOI, Pat Schlarbaum. Pat, give us one of your Christmas memories.
Oh, let's go back to a homemade toboggan. My grandpa came from Idaho to make for us boys. It was a piece of corrugated tin with the front part rolled up. We had tried taking a hood off of 37 Ford and turning that into a sled, but we really got to thinking that the tin would make it more like a toboggan in a conventional manner. We provided the tin, and my grandpa came and he would make things. He was a farmer. When he would come to Iowa, he'd make us things. That was his role. He had the expertise to tap that front end over to make it curved and then gave it some reinforcement with some metal bands. And it was a true gift for a bunch of boys that wanted to sled down the hill outside our farmstead. And we received an ice storm on Christmas Eve. And the next day, it was just ice on top of snow. So it was like lightning as far as momentum. This piece of tin with a rolled up front became a toboggan from the galactic area. But this thing had a certain rumble to it. It was like somewhat like a locomotive. It would, as you rumbled down, it was fast. It would go airborne over the terracing. I mean, you had to bail off to keep it from smashing into the fence, but we would take it one ride after another, and as soon as you were done with one, you would think, okay, that was the last one. And by the time you made it to the top of the hill, you were ready to go down and do it again. And it just was repeated enjoyment, the most crystalline Christmas morning I can ever recall, on a hillside in southern Iowa by the Weldon River. And I think that toboggan is still a part of that farmstead in southern Iowa. I mean, it was classic. We weren't going to wear it out. My name is Pat Schlarbaum. I would like to wish all the listeners in Central Iowa a very happy and wonderful Christmas activity with friends and family.
I'm Bruce Calhoun. Merry Christmas. Before Ames developed a lot, I had an aunt and uncle that lived sort of at the south end of Welch Avenue. And at that time, once you came to the end where the towers are, it was an open field. And I remember we went to that field and we had a horse-drawn sleigh ride. This was a really long time ago. So every time around Christmas, I just imagine that all that stuff is gone. You know, I can go there and almost picture it. I was just a really little kid then, but I can remember that place.
One of the most memorable Christmases that I ever experienced was when I was about 13 years old. Without much warning, my mom and I moved to Canyon City, Colorado, which was kind of a glamorous location. It has the Royal Gorge. It's a resort town. And we bought a motel. Well, she bought a motel. And my dad continued to work at his regular job in Hastings, Nebraska. So he did come to Colorado for Christmas, and the three of us went out from the motel, drove out into the National Forest with a little handsaw. And we looked around the National Forest, and I'm thinking this was completely legal, but anyway, it was open space. There was nobody worried about it. And we looked around and found a little tree about 3 feet tall, and I was like 13 years old, and I got to be the major decision maker in picking out the tree and then help saw it down. So we found it and cut it, and it was just back to nature. You know, so much of life now is all fabricated and organized, and this was more like the Wild West. We cut a tree out of the ground and took it home and decorated it, and that was a very joyous, memorable experience. A little sidelight, I had lost my little billfold, and I was only 13, so I didn't have a lot of valuables like credit cards, but my folks seemed to have found it somehow, and it showed up under the tree on Christmas Eve. That was a little, like, frosting on the cake to get my billfold back. But as long as I'm mentioning Christmas trees, we now have a fiber optics Christmas tree. It's there right now in our house, and it requires no decorations. It's so sweet. The little color wheel underneath is hidden, but it makes the needles, like, come to life in color, and the colors are constantly changing, and I do love that. But the memory of that little kind of scrawny tree, but it was charming and it was natural. It smelled great. The tree we have in our living room now doesn't have any smell. So I'm Roger Berger. Merry Christmas, Happy Yule, and above all, where it all came from in the first place, we got through the winter solstice. So happy post-winter solstice.
Christmas memories. Paul Nelson here, and I came up here to Ames in 1971 from Arkansas. Spent my childhood in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and one Christmas I remember because of something that happened involving a couple of animals. I was about 10 years old, and Christmas morning came, and I was very excited because, among other things, I had a brand new bicycle under the Christmas tree. So I came down the hall, entered the living room, and my parents were there. We gathered around and started opening presents and so forth. And I looked over and noticed that our Siamese cat had all of a sudden grown a huge tail and was looking very intently at the Christmas tree. And looked over at the Christmas tree, and I could see a little bit of movement back there. The cat kind of slunk around to the side, tail growing bigger, if that's possible. The Siamese cat is relatively short-haired, but this tail was as big around as a raccoon's tail at this point. And I saw a little bit of movement back there. And all of a sudden, a huge black snake emerged from the back of the Christmas tree and started gliding across the floor toward the hall. Its head was held high, about 6 inches off the floor, looked like a cobra, and that cat followed that snake out into the hall, and we heard a scuffle. We did manage to corral the snake and put it outside, but the cat walked around the house the rest of that day with a huge tail, looking in every corner, trying to figure out what in the world had just happened. We never could figure out where that snake got in the house. But black snakes are non-venomous, and they're not uncommon in that part of Arkansas. Oh, the bike was very nice, by the way. It was a nice new Schwinn. So how's that for a Christmas? Yep. Surprising. Surprising. A Christmas surprise. I'm Paul Nelson, and I grew up a Catholic, but I'm fond of saying that I gave the church up for Lent 1 year and never went back. For the entire Central Iowa, for the KHOI listening audience, have a very, very happy solstice season.
Best Christmases that I remember growing up was when I woke up and all of us kids had bicycles waiting for us. I got my very first bicycle, you know, and my dad, he had that look like he was so happy. He hid this from us, and I'm the kind of kid that will check under the bed and all the drawers and like sneak a look at the presents, just surprising the kids in the morning, passing that on. My kids woke up Christmas morning with one giant present. And my son is a few years older than my daughter, and he looked at her and he goes, "No matter what it is, I get to use it first." And he's thinking it's like some kind of go-kart. I mean, it was a huge present. And then they open up this one giant present, and then in the center it's partitioned. So all the things that he ever asked for was on his side, and all of her stuff was on hers. And they were all individually wrapped, so it was like a giant gift. When the kids got older, I had scavenger hunt Christmases where I would make them answer questions to find out where their present was. I'd do a hide it like an Easter egg. They hated it, you know. And I just was trying to create a different memory, you know, add some different traditions. It did create a memory, not a happy memory on their part. These were preteens and teens that were like, "Give me my stuff now. I do not want to work for this." So putting two holidays together, like the Easter egg hunt and the Christmas holiday, not a good idea. It's funny to think about it now, but not a good idea. Preteens are very vengeful. And they are, it created some hurt feelings on their part. And it's okay to want. It's okay to want, you know, because you also want for other people. I remember wanting for other people too. My name is Cynthia McClure. I hope that KHOI makes your life a little brighter, and that what we're doing here, what we're trying to achieve here, is creating a space for you to understand yourself in a bigger way, because this isn't just us and our agenda. It's also the community and you. So my wish for you is that you don't sell yourself short throughout the new year and come and see what we're doing here at KHOI.
Out of 25 Christmases, I don't really have many memories on them for some reason. Well, most of them was bad, that's why, but I think the last good memory I can have, I was 10. Yeah, either 10 or 11. I was in Hammond, Indiana at this time. This is not too long after I had moved outside of Chicago. And I remember it so well because I had got a bike that Christmas. I had one, but it was a POS. So yeah, I wanted another one. I kept on hinting at it, and then I got tired of hinting at it. I was like, Mom, I want a bike. Can I get another bike? Can I get another bike? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. And as soon as I woke up, went to get all the presents. We started opening the presents. And then my mom, my stepdad, brought the bike upstairs. I left the presents all where they was at, grabbed the bike without no coat, and went outside. And I'm outside through all the snow and everything, cold as can be. That was actually a pretty good one. Me and my sisters was tearing up everything. The house was a wreckage of just toys, clothes, wrapping paper, pieces of the Christmas tree, candy canes. Great. That would sum it all up. Yeah. I think that was the last Christmas where I ever actually got any Christmas presents. I think that was the last good Christmas I remember. I just can't think of any other good Christmases I've had. And I was hoping that this one would be a good one. So I was hoping to be with my son and my wife for Christmas, but that's not even going to be able to happen. But I do still believe that this will probably be my most memorable one because I'm going to be with my sisters and my nieces and nephews. Me, my mother, and my sisters, and then the kids. We all haven't been together in some years. So only kid that's missing is mine. I love him to death, but yeah, I ain't seen my son in over a year. I mean, my son is, of course, going to take priority. My name is Daryl Hardy. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all in Ames, Des Moines area, Central Iowa, and hope you guys enjoy your Christmas and your New Year's.
My name's Paul Hertz. When I was in late elementary or early middle school in the mid-90s. On Christmas Day, I happened to notice this bike out in the driveway. My mom and I brought it in, and it wasn't from her. It wasn't from anyone we were expecting a gift from, but it was, in fact, from our neighbors. If you remember the Pepsi points, they had this whole promotional thing going on with various prizes if you accumulated so many. I think it was turning in probably UPC codes from the boxes, the 12 packs or whatever of Pepsi. This was the bike that you got upon accumulation of however many hundred or thousand points. And our neighbor, his job was garbage collector. And he went around every day just picking up people's trash. And he had accumulated all these thrown out boxes of Pepsi and saved the codes from them and used that to get a bike and then given it to me on Christmas, just left it in the driveway. Oh, it was great. Definitely surprised. Yeah. Merry Christmas to everyone out there listening, and have a safe and happy new year.
All right, this is a story about Merle when I lived uptown, Auden, Illinois, right across the bridge from St. Louis, Missouri. Guess I was about 7 years old, I would guess. Didn't have a lot of great Christmases, but I did have one that was it's pretty good. I wanted a pair of moon boots. We don't get as much snow back home as you guys get up here, but we do get some snow. And I remember some of the kids was wearing these funky looking boots, and they had like big sole bottoms, real thick, and they're really insulated well, and it had the Velcro strap on the side. And I wanted a pair of those boots really bad. And also, I wanted a boom box. You know, this is back when hip hop was really going, and they came out with the double cassette boombox, and where you could dub tapes. You could like get a cassette tape and play it, and then get a blank cassette tape and put on the other side and record, you know, and, you know, make a mixtape, you know, or different songs, you know. And I thought that was super cool. And my mom was a single parent, and she didn't have a lot of money. I lived in the projects, but my father always got me something on Christmas too. But this particular Christmas, my mom really put some effort in getting me some nice things. I think they're pretty good that year in school, so she went that extra mile to look out for me and got me that double cassette thing and those moon boots. I put those moon boots on with my pajamas and went outside in the snow and was stumping around and making big footprints. So that's my little Christmas story. That's probably the best memory of a childhood Christmas that I think I can think of. Merry Christmas from Merle on the Move at KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames, Iowa.
Well, I remember one Christmas, this is back in the 80s, and I must have been around 8 years old. I was kind of like a radio nerd back then, too, in technology. And I always wanted a walkie-talkie because I thought it would be kind of cool to have this kind of communication with friends, kind of have this play time with friends and use the two-way technology. So I think one Thanksgiving, we found a wishbone, I think, and we let it dry out. And I guess my dad and I, we pulled it apart, and what happened was I ended up with a bigger piece, and, you know, just waited for one Christmas, and I opened up a package, and there was it was a very high quality walkie-talkie, pretty expensive actually. So I got my wish. It's a very exciting moment to have that experience, and it's kind of like a magical childhood experience. So, you know, now that I think about it now, since I'm growing up more, and I understand things more, it's more of how much my parents really did care for me, you know, when I was a kid. And even now, when you're a kid, you think of more kind of like Santa experience. And when you grow up, you realize how truly your parents cared for you. So you kind of appreciate them more for giving you this gift that you've always wanted. So I would definitely define it as a experience of appreciation. I'm Rick Morrison. I wish all the listeners a very meaningful holiday and a close bonding with their family and friends through the holidays.
When I was little, I was always like a big fan of video games. So when the Wii came out, I was really excited over it. It's a console to play games on. You know, I started opening my presents, and I got like three different Wii games. And I was like, awesome, but I don't have a Wii. I'm really sad. And then I even opened up like a nunchuck and a Wii controller. I was like, this is awesome, but I don't have a Wii. And I was getting really depressed. And then the last present I opened up that I didn't even see was a Wii. And I started crying. So happy. I'm Ana Despirito. My love for my family's increase exponentially during the holidays, and it will for you too, because given presents by people you normally hate really makes you start to love them.
I'm Madeline, and so when I was like really little, like back when I hardly had memories, I just loved animals so much, and my mom would have me like write letters to Santa like about what I wanted and then put them out on Christmas Day. So I wrote that I wanted an elephant, like a full elephant, like a live elephant. That's what I wanted. And I was so excited about this elephant that I was going to get. And I remember Christmas came and I opened all my presents, of course, and there's no elephant. And so, like, I run outside and, like, start looking for this elephant because I'm like, oh, it's huge. It must be outside. There's no elephant. And I started talking to my mom and she's like, oh, he can't fit it on his sleigh. Can't fit this elephant on his sleigh, Madeline. And I was so sad. And I was bitter about that for years. He was being selfish. Yeah. My Christmas message is spend it with your pets because they love you the most.
I'm Ronnie, and one of my favorite holiday memories is when I was a little kid and my mom and I made reindeer food. So my mom had a bunch of reindeer ceramics that she painted. She made them herself, and it was actually really cool. And as a little kid, I thought they were the coolest thing. And I loved deer, so I thought it was really cool, and I tried to play with them like they were toys, and she got a little upset. They were not toys. They broke very easily. But she said, if I liked reindeer so much, how about we attract them? And so she looked up something for reindeer chow, and we got red glitter, green glitter, and Cheerios. And we mixed it all in a bowl. We added some sprinkles for cookies, and we put a little milk in it for... because, you know, Santa likes milk, reindeer must like milk. And we set it outside. And Christmas morning, before even checking my presents, I ran outside to check the reindeer chow. Sure enough, it was all gone. Felt like reindeer were real. Felt pretty proud. They probably liked my reindeer chow better than any other reindeer chow.
I never gave any reindeer any chow,
well,
so I feel
problem.
Bad
no
now.
No one did. They didn't.
I feel bad now. I always gave Santa food when I was pets.
Yeah, he's already fat. He doesn't need food.
We
the
used
reindeer
to put
do.
Out, like, carrots and cookies on the plate.
Oh, man, oh, I never thought of doing this stuff.
I'm Ronnie, and don't play with your mother's ceramic reindeer.
I think my most memorable Christmas is from when I was a child during World War II, and I think I was 4. My father was overseas in what I learned later, the Pacific. My mother had very, very supportive friends, among them an older couple whom we knew as a grandma and a grandpa, and they had no children of their own. And we learned that Christmas how much they loved us and how much of a grandma and grandpa they were. Our family tradition was to let Santa Claus put the tree up. So when we children went to bed, there was no tree. We did leave cookies and milk for Santa Claus. And little did we know that half the neighborhood came in and helped our mother decorate that tree. And the next morning, when my older brother took his two younger sisters down, underneath that tree was a sight that, if you had not believed in delight, joy, the divine, you would. The tree lights were on. The room was dark. And under the tree were two little baby beds, lovingly made by Grandpa Jean. Mother had made the coverlets and the mattress, and Aunt Elise had purchased the dolls that were in those beds. We didn't think of anything else that whole day except the tree and the doll beds. This is a story that still brings tears to my eyes when I think of it and think of all the people who must have been involved helping my mother through those hard times. So I would say the magic of Christmas. My nickname, which everyone knows me by, is Duffy Lore. I do have a real name. It's Marion. And yes, I was a librarian. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
I grew up in Lawrence, Kansas. My parents both had their families in Wichita, Kansas. So every holiday we would drive down, visit both families, and usually spend 4 or 5 days in Wichita. So this particular year, I think I was in college. I think it was my first or second year in college. I was home with my folks for the holidays, and we were getting ready to drive down. We weren't going down until Christmas Day, I believe, and had bad weather. There had been freezing rain and then snow on top of it, and we decided to try it anyway. And since we were going down for several days, you know, we had emptied out the house basically getting ready for this trip. So we get on the road from Lawrence going south to Wichita, and I remember my dad commenting that the roads weren't really that bad. He was surprised at all the cautionary notes about traveling. Well, we got up on a high point, one of those high points in the highway where the wind can really clear things off, and it had blown all the snow off into the side of the road and big drifts there. And of course, because of that, the road had become black ice because there's no snow on there. So something happened. My dad was going a little bit faster than somebody else and had to tap the brakes for some reason, and we instantly just spun around entirely, did a 360, and ended up in the ditch. And the Christmas miracle was that we actually got ourselves out of the ditch without having to get a tow truck. We didn't get buried entirely, and he'd been going slowly enough that we just kind of came to a stop. So that was the huge relief, was that we were able to get the car started again. Between my brother and me and my dad, we were able to kind of push it back up onto the road, and got some traction, with the tires on the grass underneath the snow. So we made it out, and we unanimously voted that we'd only made it about 10 miles out of town on our, you know, 3-hour drive. So we decided that it wasn't worth trying to push it. We'd learned our lesson, turned around and carefully drove back to our house in Lawrence. But because we'd been planning on being gone for 4 or 5 days, I mentioned earlier that we'd sort of cleaned out the house. There was no food in the house. We'd eaten everything out of the refrigerator. No perishables were around. You know, there were just some, I think we had popcorn. That's all we had was popcorn. And it was Christmas Day. None of the stores were open back then. This was back in the 80s. So we got home around noon on Christmas Day, and for the rest of that day, we ate popcorn. And I remember watching It's a Wonderful Life and just sort of hanging around as a family. And then the next day the stores opened and we were able to go out and buy food and have have a proper Christmas dinner the day after Christmas. We were very grateful. We were grateful that our car came out of the ditch and we didn't have to find a tow truck on Christmas. And we were grateful for our popcorn, even though it wasn't really what we were expecting to eat that day. So I think it was a good gratitude day. And the lesson was, of course, you know, to enjoy what you have. It's more important than what you think you should have been getting. I'm David Slade, and I'm an Ames resident. And I'd like to wish everybody out there, KHOI listeners, a very, very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays.
I'm Richard Scale. My family always had this Christmas tradition of measuring me by this, 3 or 4 foot tall lit up snowman that my grandma would keep in the yard. It's just a little plastic snowman. I think it had maybe one or two light bulbs inside of it, but on the outside it was sort of a cartoon, a three-dimensional cartoon statue. It's sort of like how some people would draw, draw lines on a post in a doorway. My family would put me next to the snowman every Christmas. They'd just take pictures and then sort of flip through, like, this is 94, 95, 96, and so on. Except for this year, I'm passing it off on to my nephews. Happy holidays from the heart of Iowa at KHOI.
having grown up on a farm back in Ohio, we always made a big deal of Christmas. And when we all grew and moved away, we continued to go back to the farm every year for Christmas. And it was a family reunion every year. I was one of the middle children, so I had bookends of family on each side. And after Mom passed away, Dad began to talk about leaving the farm. And he announced one summer that he was not going to shovel snow on the farm again. So he was announcing his retirement from farming. And as best as I can recall, that must have been about 1985. Well, for Christmas that year, my wife and I here in Iowa bought ball caps for every member of the family. And on the ball cap, it said Ray Lewis Farmer, 1941 to 1985. And I had even commissioned a drawing of what his barn looked like. So we all had matching ball caps that said his name, the years he was a farmer, and a picture of the farm on the ball cap. And we passed those out on Christmas Day during the reunion. And it was, oh, this is just a hat. What's this about? And, of course, it became very symbolic of Dad's leaving farming to have those dates there. The following summer, Dad held his farm auction. And this is something he had planned because he had gone to auctions his whole life. And he planned his farm auction to sell off his equipment. And we all showed up at the auction wearing those ball caps. And it was the connection between the reunion, his retirement, being at his auction. I remember that Christmas being in the middle. It was all about being together. Family was what that Christmas was about. The word is family. Donald Lewis, longtime resident of Ames, saying happy holidays to all.
I was in Chicago, south side of Chicago, Oak Hill Gardens. Yeah. Christmas of 2001, my stepfather brought my mom's a car. He bought her a 5.0 Mustang, right? You know, it was probably older for the year it was, but it was a clean car, brand new. I probably was around 14, 15, me and my brother, my older brother Joseph. We were already hanging out because we was basically young men, so we were hanging out with my stepfather. And so when my mother and my stepfather called it a night, me and my brother just so happened to get the keys. And we took my mother's car for a ride, you know, before she even got to test drive the car. So that was a great Christmas experience for me. We actually got in trouble after we got back because, you know, being that we were young men, we didn't just go for a ride, we went out. I can't remember exactly where we went, but I know we were gone for a while into some mischief. Like I told you, I was with my older brother, so he probably got more blamed than me at this time, you know. So, matter of fact, you know, before we went to where we were going, we actually, like I told you, it was a 5.0 Mustang, so we actually went up to the parking lot of the local corner store or whatever, hitting some donuts in the parking lot. The only thing that was wrong with the car, you could probably go to laugh, but that's probably why she didn't drive the car yet, because the brakes were like gone out in the car. Not completely, but it was gone out. That's why we started doing donuts in the first place, you know, in the parking lot. So yeah, so we had some fun. Like I say, it was worth the trouble we got into. I can't remember a lot of experience from Christmas, but I do remember that one. That was a great Christmas experience for me. It was Christmas night, and I got to drive the car before she did, and I had fun. It was a nice Christmas night. My name is Keys, talking to you guys from Ames, Iowa right now. At KHOI, I want to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
My name is Susan Franzen. In 1981, when our children were grown up, and there were just Fritz and I, we went to Jerusalem over Christmas vacation. Well, that's also a national holiday in Israel because it's Hanukkah is a big thing, not for the same reasons it is here, but because Hanukkah commemorates a military victory. And so they celebrated Hanukkah with torchlit parades through the streets. It's really spectacular. Well, it was fantastic. Yes, it was fantastic. Everything was surprising. But the thing that was most remarkable to me was the place. Visiting the West Bank, going to Jericho, which is an oasis, seeing the vegetables that were grown by the Palestinian farmers. The place was really very beautiful. I'd never seen poinsettias growing outside. That was quite striking to me. There were a number of things that were strange because they were different, but they struck us in places that made us feel connected. Those of us who grew up in Christian traditions of Old Testament, the places are familiar. Jerusalem is a city that is familiar, and it's like history coming alive. One thing that was disturbing, our friends took us to the church in Bethlehem that is supposed to be at the site of the birth of Jesus. And they had chapels for different religions, and they were having services at the same time. And it seemed to me, rather than being enhancing the sacredness of the place, it seemed like they were all trying to carve out their bit. And in the hall, there was a baby doll. It didn't seem to me to be a spiritual symbol. I was really quite disturbed at the way that people were tearing at this place. My name is Susan Franzen. A heartfelt greeting to all the listeners at KHOI. I love you all for being here, for listening to us, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday, however you celebrate it.
And they go in for Christmas in a bigger way than they do here, if that's possible. I mean, everywhere's closed, everyone's at home, the roads are empty, and they bring in masses of greenery for their houses, you know, holly with berries on it, and they go out hunting in the woods for this stuff. I mean, it's like Dickens, flaming Christmas pudding at lunchtime and so on. Especially when my parents were alive, I used to get my husband to go over to England for Christmas. And this was a big event for my parents because, you know, I'm here in America. And I remember I was over there early helping my sister decorate the house. And we were looking for some holly with berries on it. And someone said, oh, there's a big tree with berries, big holly tree with berries behind the church. So we were, I mean, the whole village knew because my brother-in-law found this out from the pub where you could get holly with berries. So we were sort of sneaking into the churchyard to steal some of this holly. And everyone was saying, we know where you're going. And we decorated the whole house with that. In the dining room, it had a huge old-fashioned fireplace. You could actually get into the fireplace, and there were these seats inside this big brick fireplace. And there was a sort of wooden archway you entered to get into it. Well, my sister and I decided we were going to decorate this whole thing with greenery, which we did. And it was like a little forest glade when you stepped through it, and then you were sitting by the fire. And we were just thrilled with this. And I remember I said to my dad, what do you think of this, Dad? And he said, let's put it this way. I expect little men in green to start shooting arrows at me. And one Christmas there, I remember, when I was teaching in Africa, a whole bunch of us that had trained together as teachers got together in Mombasa, which is on the coast. And we had Christmas dinner at this hotel in Mombasa, which is on the beach. They've got a dance floor on the sands with all these palm trees and the sea, and then you're dancing there. The food took ages to come. But we didn't really mind because we were dancing and so on. I'm Kay Patuk, I hope everyone has a very wonderful, happy Christmas, with or without greenery.
I remember growing up having the Christmas tree in the living room. Our rooms were down a hallway. And we were told that before our parents woke up, my mother, Lynn, my stepdad, Bob, we were not supposed to leave our room until they woke up. And it was always just painful to know that there was something out there. We wanted to wake them up, and we couldn't figure out any better way than to run into the room and jump on the bed and woke them up. But I always remember wanting to get eggnog or something like that in the kitchen, and we couldn't do that because it would be along the way to through the living room. The reason for it always was they always had something that was big that was not wrapped up. And that's why they didn't want us to see that. It was usually like a bike or a sled or something really cool. And it was – they wanted to see our faces, I imagine, or, you know, to see our surprise and keep the secret of Santa. I think there was one year when my little brother was maybe 3 or 4. He got a big green tractor that was – and I always remember that for him because he wanted to ride it around. We wouldn't let him ride it in the house because it's just a big green tractor. And of course, we'd leave milk and cookies out, and it'd always be gone the next day. It was a good memory of mine because it's one of my mother that I can still remember. She passed away a couple years ago. I've always remembered her in good mirth, but I think that, you know, this is a very nice memory of for Christmas. And we also had breakfast, a big breakfast, and. It was pancakes, it was waffles, it was eggs, bacon, sausage. You could probably have any kind of breakfast meat or dish in general, and it would be on the table. For a family of maybe 5 or 6, that's all it was. We were feeding, but it was bowls full of everything. I always like to celebrate it even today, where I like to wear pajamas for Christmas, every, you know, Christmas morning. All day Christmas would be just in my pajamas. And I also like now lately getting a lot of fruits in our stocking now. We still get a stocking and we still get stuff in there, little fruits and occasional chocolates. And I always look forward to that. I really rather prefer fruits now because it's a healthier choice. And I like that idea. My name is Jesse Gaskill, and I want to say happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all, and have a happy New Year's Eve as well.
To say something.
My name is Don Ressler. Well, I remember when I was a little boy, I had 2 older brothers and a younger sister, and we always went to a Christmas Eve service. And one night, it may have been snowing, but maybe not, but I like to think that it was. And we all got into the car, and we headed out. And I remember after we all got in the car, my dad had to go back inside the house for some reason. And it was an unusual thing that he did. Usually he was ready to go and we got in the car and left. But I didn't think too much about it. Probably played some games with my brothers while we waited. And then we went to our Christmas Eve service. We always went to Christmas Eve and then we would go around the town and look at the Christmas lights. And usually we would just sit around the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve after the service and sing songs. And then we would open our presents on Christmas Day, the next morning. We always had to wait and eat breakfast before we could open our presents. We couldn't get up early and we had to eat breakfast beforehand. But this particular Christmas Eve, we got home and all the presents were there already. So Santa had come while we were at the church service. And that was just an amazing, how could this happen? And oh, it was just great. And we opened our presents Christmas Eve instead of Christmas Day. And it was really quite fun. Very surprising. Spend time with family and friends and enjoy the season.
Say something.
Oh, yes? Want to say something?
Yeah.
Say what you like about Christmas, like? Spencer.
Let me think about it.
Could you think about it?
Okay. I like presents.
You like the presents?
I like the presents.
I'm Ursula Rudenberg. For me, the Christmas spirit has become embodied by the memory of my mother's father, my grandfather. I still feel that on Christmas, he's with me. When I was in my late 20s, I lived with him and my grandmother in Basel, Switzerland for about 2 years and took care of them until my grandfather died and my grandmother acquired nurses. So he and I were very good friends, and I remember on Christmas he wanted to go to the organ mass in the cathedral, which was right across the square from where his house was. They lived in a medieval house in the old part of Basel next to the cathedral, and if you didn't look at the cars that were parked there, you literally could not tell which century you were in, except there was electricity. But other than that, all of the buildings and the cathedral really dated back more than 800 years. Actually, the city is 2,000 years old, and the cathedral sits on the banks of the Rhine. It's a huge, very old cathedral. I think it's called Romanesque. Originally a Catholic church for the Virgin Mary. And then when Switzerland became Protestant, they took all the artwork out of the church. So now the church is unadorned inside, other than this really beautiful space that was just delicious to be in. I just loved going to that mass with him. It was an organ mass in the cathedral. I remember walking across the town square in cobblestones with my grandfather with our arms linked, and he was very old and very fragile and very light on my arm. He was a former minister in that city, and so he was treated with great, you know, reverence, and a lot of people knew him, and it was a way for him to kind of be back in the community where he was spending most of his time taking care of his wife and kind of secluded because he was so old. And my grandfather died while I was in Switzerland. I loved the worldview that he imparted to me. His father had been an influential theologian and had really embodied a spirit of public service and social consciousness. And my grandfather really carried that on and expressed that vision to me. And so the friendship I had with him was relatively short-lived. It was maybe 2 years long, but it was a very delightful friendship. And when I was living in New York, there was one Christmas, maybe about 10 years ago, where I found myself spending Christmas absolutely alone. First, I was kind of sad about that, but then I noticed that I really, really enjoyed having this quiet time to just do whatever I wanted. And my family traditionally puts candles on trees because my parents are European immigrants. So I had candles on the tree. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight, a Christmas tree lit with candles. It has a halo of light around it. And so I had my tree in my apartment. I lit the candles, and I spent the evening enjoying the quiet of being alone in my house. And as I sat there, I just really got this very distinct feeling that my grandfather was there with me. And I think that was the first time I personally felt what people call the Christmas spirit. It was this feeling of playful love and joy and just a tremendous, delightful, beautiful feeling. I felt very loved, and I just felt that he was there, that I had created a space for him to be there. And that my memory of our relationship, our friendship came back to me, and the beautiful side of religion that he was able to share with me, and really just got down to love. I just remember at that Christmas thinking to myself, for me, a quiet space on Christmas Eve is a good thing because it creates a space for my grandfather to visit me once a year. And I really like having him visit. I would say it's a reunion. I wish everyone within listening distance of KHOI wonderful holidays, many happy reunions, and thank you so much for being here and listening to us and sharing this wild, beautiful ride with us of creating community radio and hearing each other's stories. See you again on the radio.